This is 2014, year of the gift. Is this the 19th? Got my notes right for once. It's the 19th day of the year of the gift. What have I given? What has been given me? Who worked all night? Did you guys work all night? You did. Give a hand to the people who work all night and get up and come to church. In honor of your capacity to stay awake, you know, so many hours, we're just going to go to 2 o'clock. I do honor and I greatly respect those that work all night and come to church on the next morning. That is so awesome. God bless you. Whew. There's so much, you know, the whole idea of the people that just got up was to share what they heard God say to them about our church and about what we're doing here. And I've got my little notebooks full. But I want to start with what the Lord started giving me for today a few days ago, and then we'll work up to maybe what I got out of the meeting. But the first thing he asked me, he wanted to ask myself and ask you, you know, what have we given? It's the 19th day. What have I given? Well, I can't think of a couple things I've given and a couple things I've received. And praise God for that. We're going to be givers and receivers in order to be givers. Look at somebody and say, you're a giver. And then hold your hand out and go like this. You're a giver. No, I'm just teasing. Turn to Job chapter 4, verse 15. Believe it or not, this is something the Lord went to work on me Wednesday night, big time. Wednesday afternoon, just before service. Where in the world is Job? Oh, there it is. I was looking for a job. Did you find Job 3, 15? Let's read that. New King James here says, A spirit passed before my face. And the hair on my body stood up. Anybody ever get goosebumps? The hair on your body ever stand up when a spirit passed by your face? Come on. I'm telling you something. The Spirit of the Lord wants to pass by our face and give us goosebumps. That's all right. Woo! You know, just to give you a brief history of the guy that said that, in the first verse, we're in chapter 4, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said. And then it goes on the next several verses what Eliphaz had said. And what I just read to you, Eliphaz is the one that said this, a spirit passed before my face and a hair on my body stood up. Now Eliphaz, everybody still here? Still awake? Eliphaz was the first man recorded in the Bible to speak for God in the first person. If you have the blessing of owning a chronological Bible, you'll see that Job was written many years before Genesis. Now, Genesis is a record of the beginning as given by Moses. But Job, the book of Job and the life of Job, was before in history, even before Moses wrote about Genesis. So if we have a chronological Bible like I do, you know, the Bible, you open the first page, it's on Job. And it just gives you it's really cool to see it in a different perspective. And Eliphaz, in Job's day, had the gall, the guts, to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, I'm speaking for God in the first person, and this is what he says. And I've done quite a bit of research on this guy, and I'm just absolutely excited about him. I never paid any attention to Eliphaz. Anybody here know about Eliphaz? Come on. Have you named your kids Eliphaz? I've read Job how many times, you know. I've read the Bible. I never paid a bit of attention to Eliphaz. And all of a sudden on Wednesday night about 5:30 in the afternoon, Eliphaz came to life in my life. I've got a new friend, Eliphaz. Now this was really special as you study out Eliphaz. He had the gall, the guts to speak for God and say what God would say. And this was taboo in the Hebrew world. They wouldn't even say what we now call as one of the names of God, Yahweh, they wouldn't even say that. They were afraid to speak God's name. Now, of course, there's a reverence in that, and there's an honor in the reverence that they were holding for that. But, I mean, no one would dare speak for God because, you know, it's like the Catholics feel about the Holy Bible. God bless you Catholics, I have nothing against you. But many of the lovely Catholics I know, they have a Holy Bible in their house. You say, did you ever read that? And they say, no, I don't touch it. It's holy. All due respect, but that's, you know, even we sometimes get, you know, we don't want to touch God. He's holy. We don't want to move in the Spirit. No, it's holy. Huh? And Eliphaz says, I hear the voice of the Lord, and I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak as he would speak. If God were standing here, this is what he would say. And Eliphaz expounded on the will of God. What power of faith this man had. It took a lot of faith to stand up and be the first prophet to say, I heard God say something, listen to what he says. Wow. Now, what does this have to do with the meeting we were at in the last 2 days? I just got to share this with you, okay? Saturday morning was the last meeting. Started off good. There were a lot of good praise and worship was going forth. The meeting's going well. And we were eight of us up there, and four of our people, those I was really counting on, two of them sat up here and two of them sat over there, and they're late. And I'm going, where are these guys? Why are they late? Who overslept? Maybe Nina's having her baby. And I'm going through all this stuff, why are they late? And I keep telling myself, self, just go ahead and worship God. Don't worry about them. They'll be all right. And so I'm saying, self, just shut up and worship God. So I go, okay, I'm just trying to get lost. And I got kind of lost. It feels good to get lost in the Spirit. And I got lost in the worship and lost in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling so numb. And I made a comment to the Lord. I said, Lord, it just feels so numb. I'm really trying to get into this. I'm really trying to be the obedient, receptive. I'm here to be a participant, Lord. But I just felt numb as a box of rocks or something. And all of a sudden, my eyes are closed, my hands are up, and I'm feeling numb, but I'm walking in faith, worshiping in faith. And I felt a spirit go by my face. And I got goosebumps big time. Woohoo! And I was reminded of this verse I just read to you, that a spirit passed by my face and the hair on my body stood up. And I was reminded of that scripture. I said, thank you, Jesus. Evidently, you have arrived, God. And about that time, I opened my eyes and there's my four walking right in front of me to take their seat. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, you sensed in your spirit their spirits because you're one in spirit. Hallelujah. And you are ordained of God to be of like faith and one spirit. Where's the other three? They should have heard this. They're late. I'm telling you what, friends, God wants his spirit that dwells within each and every one of us to be felt by each and every one of us. We need to be so spiritually sensitive that when we walk up close to one another, we feel goosebumps just because we're of one spirit. Why not? Not to make you or I some kind of super special, God's man of power for the hour, the term I use all the time. Hey, we're talking about God. He's the one living in there. There's a pastor, a dear friend of ours for many years, a pastor down in Moctezuma, lady pastor. And she's a woman of prayer. Her husband passed away 10 years ago. And since then, she has just been like Anna in the temple in Jesus' day, where she just lives in prayer. And there's been times when I would greet her and almost fall to the floor. I could barely shake her hand without falling to the floor. I would have to hold myself up because the power of God would be so strong on her. A spirit passed by my face and hair on my body stood up. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to feel the tangible presence of God. And I want you to get ready to start feeling more of God than you've ever felt before. Because this year of the gift, God's going to be passing by. And it's not all going to be in the woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. It's going to be God in the body of Christ from every church in this town. We're going to start sensing, realizing, discerning, respecting, and honoring the God within our brother. So get ready to feel goosebumps when you shake hands with that brother from across the street serving God in his own special way. Now that's why you gave me that. Before I said all that, I heard God saying this. And I wrote it down. I didn't know how it was going to fit. Now I know. God said people are gifts. And he said we need to accept people with their faults. Without accepting people's faults. We need to accept people with their faults without accepting people's faults. Do you follow me? If we'll learn to accept one another, even though we all have faults, we'll have a unity of spirit and we'll recognize the God within instead of recognizing the fault within. Who's perfect? Somebody raise your hand. I need the most perfect person in here to raise your hand. Who? Come on, somebody help me out. Okay, Mr. Nobody sitting here. Brother Nobody. How do you do, Brother Nobody? It's good to have you here today. Are you, sir, the most perfect man in church? Yes. He says yes. Well, most perfect brother in church, do you have any faults? And he says, oh, if you only knew. Okay, now, brother, how do you want me to know you? Should I get to know you by your faults or get to know you by the God that's working on the inside of you, changing the outside? How do you want to be known, brother? As a man of potential that's going to serve God more and more every year? Or do you want to be known by a man, Christian man, with some faults? Just a thought. Wow. Okay, make this fast, because I want Heather to have a good nap this afternoon before she goes back to work. God says, I heard this at the meeting, leave room in your belief about the sovereignty of God for human responsibility. I may believe God is sovereign. It's okay to raise your hands. It's not a trick question. God is sovereign. Well, in the sovereignty of God, our sovereign God made a sovereign decision. And his decision was that he would put man under responsibility. It was God's idea. God says, I'm sovereign. I can do anything. I'm God. But I'm making man responsible for some things. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he made man responsible for the garden, for the earth. I like this terminology. I picked up part of it at the meeting and part of it out of my own bright mind. You know, like God puts us in charge of the garden so we can watch out for sneaky talking snakes. We have a responsibility as watchmen on the wall, like Adam was watchman over the garden. We have a responsibility to watch for talking snakes. I've had them come into church and talk. They better watch out. I'm watching now. Just a thought. We're watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel 3:17 says, I have appointed you as watchman on the wall. Okay, here we go. We are not positioned on the border by mistake. You were not brought to this church that has a heart for the border by mistake. You're not a part of this church who has a heart for this community and for the Latin culture by mistake. It's no mistake that the preacher that stands before you is a Mexican lover. I'm not talking about just the food. I love that pretty olive skin and that dark hair and the way they talk and the way they smile and the way they smell. And I love Mexicans. It's a gift from God, I'm telling you. And everyone that I know of, if you got any Latin blood, if you don't have Latin blood, let me know. I'll get you married off to somebody. I'm playing with you now, but I'm also being very serious. We're not here by mistake. God didn't bring me to this community by mistake. He knew he could put in me a love for this culture. Douglas, Arizona, Agua Prieta, Sonora, has its own special culture. We are not Mexican. We are not the United States. We're Douglas AP. We have a personality like no one else on earth. And God brought you and I to be here to be a part of this community. He brought us here to be watchmen on the wall, that we would watch our borders, that we watch the borders of our cities, watch the borders of our nations. You say, well, you know, we need to watch, make sure nothing bad comes out of Mexico. I got news for you. I love Mexico enough to stand on the other side and watch this. The U.S. make sure nothing comes out of the U.S. bad to Mexico. A whole bunch of illegal guns and stuff like that coming out of U.S. all the time. A whole bunch of hunger for drugs coming out of the U.S. all the time. And I'm in Mexico standing saying, no! You stay out of Mexico. You hunger for drugs, stay out. You people are making, you know, illegal drugs and harmful drugs, making them legal so you can do recreational parties. I'm saying stay out of Mexico. If the desire for that stuff would stay out of Mexico, then I could quit standing over here and saying, hold back drugs. Don't come out of Mexico, drugs. Don't come, the desire, you don't come out of the U.S. I mean, see how it all works together. But we have a unique responsibility here to stand on guard for our people. For our people, for our families. How many have family members that live in Mexico? Raise your hand. Yeah, come on, raise your hand. Family members that live in Mexico. Yeah. This ministry owns 3 properties in Mexico. We have something to be, you know, at stake there. If with what's going on in Agua Prieta, you know, if that scares you, don't let it. If you listen to God, he may send you over there after lunch today to be a family member. If I had family members over there, I'd be checking up on them. Don't let the news tell you when to go or when to not go. You let God tell you those things. Those people are family. Family. And my heart goes out to them in the fear that has gripped their community. I'm so glad that we can be a part of the Christians that are rising up on both sides to break that fear, to turn this thing around. We don't know what God's going to do in the final end result. It may be that all the bad guys will keep shooting at one another. It'd be terrible if they never. Yeah. We're not positioned on the border as an accident. We're here as gatekeepers and watchmen. You're here on purpose. Look at somebody and say, you're here on purpose. We're here to be peacemakers. In the Beatitudes, Jesus' great sermon on the mountain of Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. We need to be peacemakers between these two cultures. I've worked in Douglas and Alva Prieta since 85. I've lived here since 87, and I've seen my full of prejudice. Even though the majority of the people here accept who we are and allow the merge, there's still some strong prejudices on both sides. Strong prejudice. There's no room for that. We need to be peacemakers. That's why you're here. Be watchmen to guard everything God has given us. God has given us precious gifts in the way we worship. He's given us precious gifts in how we worship. He's given us precious gifts in who we are as a body of people. And I want to guard those things. I want to be a watchman on the wall that's guarding the precious thing that God has put in our heart. I consider it precious that our congregation doesn't have prejudice. I consider it a gift to God that we have a heart for two cultures and have a heart for the one culture that we are that's a mix of the two. I mean, I appreciate this, and I want to guard it. We want to watch and be on guard like a deer. Raise your hand, Mauro. You ever went deer hunting? He just came from a big deer hunt and got that, you know, in his heart, in his dreams, he got that big buck with, you know, 14 points. But if you've ever been around a deer, how many of you, you've all watched TV, so you know what a deer does when they're eating, they're grazing, you know. I wish Mark was here so he could be a deer for me. I just really miss that. He was my visual. You know, and so, you know, the deer's down there and he's eating and he hears something way off in the bush, or he catches something out of the, you know, the side of his eye, this tiny movement that's not normal. He knows the movement of the birds, that's okay. He knows the movement of the wind and the grass, that's okay. He knows the movement of the butterflies, that's okay. But if it's a movement of a hunter, he knows the difference. And all of a sudden, come on, Mark, show us those ears. He perks up, his eyes get big, and his ears go straight up, and his tail goes. Right? Mike knows. We need to be just that alert. Because there's enemies out there in everybody's neighborhood. You don't have to live in this neighborhood to find enemies. And we need to be as alert as the deer and as sensitive as the deer. We need to be watching what is spoken in the way of prayers and prophecy and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. We need to be watching what we speak over our area, over our assignment, over our sphere of influence. Don't sit on your hands. Somebody said something about this, didn't they? I think Mitch. Don't sit on your hands. A good watchman's on the move. Even if you're positioned in a watchtower, 6x6 watchtower, you don't have a lot of movement. But brother, if you're a good watchman, your eyes are going to be moving. A watchman doesn't go to sleep or sit on his hands. A watchman is alert and aware at his post, doing what he's supposed to do. His post may be that 6x6. His post may be, you know, 600 yards and then 600 yards back. But wherever he is posted, he's got to be moving. We need to watch for opportunities because someone is going to take the benefit of the opportunity. If an opportunity comes up, the devil's going to try to steal it and smart people are going to try to use it. And we need to be watching for opportunities and grab them. Opportunities to witness, opportunities to minister life to people, opportunities to advance in our job, opportunities to be in a better classroom at school. Opportunities, 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 opportunities. Watch for them and grab them. Somebody's going to either steal it or use it. Just well be you using it for the glory of God. Watch for burning bushes. We all know that beautiful history of Moses, and he's out in the desert with his sheep, just he and the sheep and God, and all of a sudden a burning bush, and he's going, I didn't even see the thunderstorm, and evidently lightning has struck that bush, and he's still, you know, playing with his sheep, and all of a sudden he realizes, it dawns on him, that bush has been burning for an hour and 43 minutes. He watches it for another 17 minutes. That bush has been burning for 2 hours, and it still hasn't been consumed. It's burning just like it did 2 hours ago. You see, you know what the Bible says? It says he turned aside to see. And so he quit what he was doing, and he walked over to the bush. I'm going to check this out. This is not normal. And about that time, a spirit passed before his face, and the goosebumps got up on his back. And God said out of the burning bush, "Moses, take your shoes off, because your feet are standing on holy ground." And I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're going to see some burning bushes. And we're going to have some spirits pass by our face and give us goosebumps. And we better get excited about it, because it's God on the scene telling us what to do and showing us what to do and encouraging us and helping us to live the life we know we need to live and helping us to do the ministry that we need to be doing. I'm telling you, the supernatural power of God wants to move in you and me. Please stand up. I want you to close your eyes and put your hands up in a comfortable manner. If you need to stretch, you stretch. If you need to just have your hands upward in a comfortable manner and say these words. Say, "Heavenly Father, I believe. I believe in your presence. I hunger for your presence. I honor your presence. And Lord, I stand as a candidate. Show me a burning bush and I'll turn aside and look. Pass by my face in the spirit. Let the hair on my body stand up and I'll pay attention to your voice. Father, I'm a candidate to hear from you, that I might be a more useful person in the kingdom of God, that I might be more of a benefit to my family, my community, and the world. Father, thank you for visiting us and taking up residence with us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name." Now use those arms to hold somebody for a minute. Just use those arms to hold somebody. Use those arms to hold somebody. That person that you're touching is where God lives. That person you're touching has faults. That person you're touching is not perfect. That person's just like you and I. They have faults. But we're going to recognize them because God lives in them. If it's good enough for God to live in, it's good enough for me to love on. That person you're holding, that person you're touching, if that person's good enough for God to live in, that person's good enough for you to fellowship with. That person's worthy of your prayers, your support. That person's worthy of your respect. Now you're holding someone or praying for someone, open your eyes and try to make contact with one of them and say, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you." Come on, tell one another, "I love you." Look at somebody else. Say, "I love you. I love you. You're precious. I love you." Now say this. Say, "We're in this together, and we're all going to win together. Because we are victorious in Christ Jesus." Go from here in victory. Have a great day. Have a great week. Remember who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. And thanks for letting me introduce my new friend Eliphaz to you. Job chapter 3, it's a great place to start reading about him. Job chapter 4. God bless you. Have a great, 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 great week.